There are now only six of you.
Yeah, there used to be seven, so we'd always be, but there are now only six of you. So we're called to order, so.
Okay, let's call a meeting to order and acknowledge that the press and the public are duly notified in accordance with state law. First item on the agenda is nomination and election of chairman and vice chairman.
I would nominate Rick for chairman.
I would second that nomination.
Does he have the voice?
And I think Vince ought to be the, it's his turn to be the vice chair.
That's a good idea.
Don't you think?
So let's do chair first.
Okay.
So nominated is Rick and seconded, correct?
Yes.
Any other nominations?
Well, then I would nominate Vince for the vice chair.
Let's do chairman first.
No. Rick?
So you had a nomination, a second.
Second.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Who made the nomination?
And he did.
Oh, I'm sorry. We should have started with a roll call vote.
Lisa Safford.
Lisa.
You're going to say your name.
Bill Mills.
Rick?
And Vince DiGangi.
Gotcha, thank you.
Okay. Motion.
I nominated Rick for chairman.
Second.
She seconded.
No other nominations. I think that gets closed.
Do we vote?
So now you would vote, call for the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Another year.
Unanimous.
You're good at this. Why not?
Now you can make your other nomination.
Why rock the boat? Okay, now for the vice chair. I would like to nominate Vince for vice chair.
And I'll second that.
Wow.
Hey, have you done it? You did it last year, right?
It was a stressful job.
Yeah, you did it last year.
I couldn't do it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, you did it last year. I just think it's fun to share the love.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other nominations? Without any, it closes. Rick, you want to call for the vote?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's done.
You guys are very popular.
Yeah.
Quicker than last night.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Open for public comments. There's nobody here.
No comments.
No comments.
Approval of minutes from November 13th.
I move that we accept them as written.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Done. New business. Discuss possible next project. Potential next project.
So we have the only thing that we is on the horizon that you have to do, that I know you have to do, is the is the review. Technically, it only has to be a review of the city's comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done every 5 years. We have historically had changes to the comprehensive plan when we've reviewed it, so it is typically morphed in from a review, which is required, into an update, which you are not required to do, but you are required to do it an update every 10 years. So by doing it every 5, you basically wouldn't have to do it if you didn't want to at the next 5-year hurdle. So that's going to be.
So we get to skip this. If we do it in 5 years, we don't have to do it in the 10?
You wouldn't have to update it. You have to update it every 10. Some communities at the 5-year mark will read through it and they say, it looks good. We've reviewed it. Everything mm-hmm. is in order. And they won't change it, or they won't update it. They won't, and it'll be reviewed, and that's fine. But then when the 10-year trigger comes around, they have to update it at that point.
What's the process? Do we make a recommendation to council?
Yes. And cities do this in a lot of different ways. Technically, you will make the recommendation to city council, and city council acts on it. Most cities hire a consultant, and they pay, a lot of them pay big money to do it.
We'll take that money. We'll be happy to take
but
that.
The Planning Commission here has, since I've been here, and historically has actually written the comprehensive plan in its entirety. So it really is a work product of the Planning Commission.
Hmm. The last time we took out more than we put in.
Yeah.
We did a big update last time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing in 5 years. I mean, it is a very, it's a very high level document.
Right.
But to me, even at a high level perspective, a lot seems to change in 5 years. Even though people think of it, it's like, well, it's the same, you're dealing with drainage, you're dealing with day trippers are dealing with the same issues, but for whatever reason, there seems to be a lot of changes every time it's reviewed.
I think a lot of it's semantics too, though. I think of a lot of it is just.
And I mean, there are parts of it that got very specific. It got down to how many vehicles the police department had and employees, and you know, parts of it got, in my opinion, a little too detailed.
Is it our decision to review it, or is council's decision and they delegate it to us?
It. You are required to review it.
We're required?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you are required to review it.
Gotcha.
That is, I mean, when you look at the state planning legislation, the comprehensive plan is squarely under the purview of the comprehensive plan. Of the planning commission. The comprehensive plan is, I mean, that is kind of your guiding, you know, and you think of other cities that are dealing with rezoning requests every month and, you know, should this go here, should that go there?
Mm-hmm.
It really is kind of the working manual for the planning commission. We don't have a lot of rezoning requests or major capital improvement changes or industrial parks going in, so it doesn't get utilized as much by this planning commission as it does from others, but it is very much in the planning commission's wheelhouse.
You know, it's a little tricky. It's like an onion with the layers. Depending on the council, we could get into a lot of depth. So
yeah.
It could drag out a year or two.
And historically, I'll say the review does take about a year, and it kind of, in years or in prior revisions and updates, typically the group will take a element, there's seven or eight elements, take an element at a meeting, per meeting, you will have reviewed it, and you kind of give comments, and you get into a cycle where at the next meeting, there would be revisions of that element based on the prior month's meeting comments, revisions there, and then a review of the next element. So you're kind of editing as you're going through the document. That's historically how it's happened. There was a time when the Planning Commission actually dedicated a member to each element. So, you know, one member would take the natural benefits section of the plan, and they would really work on that plan specifically, and then they would submit their suggestions for revision. So we've done it a number of different ways. Like I said, I think it is unique that at this city, the Planning Commission has always really done all of the work. Well, I say that.
Rick, that would be up to you, I think, if you want to delegate specific parts, or if you want us all to work on it as a whole like we did the last time. I think that would be up to you.
Yeah, I like the way we did it last time.
I do too, which was not doing what you said.
Yeah.
Just for y'all's benefit, in case, because I don't think y'all were here.
We
just kind of worked on it and read through.
Mm-hmm.
We did take it part by part.
Yeah,
but
the only thing we didn't do, at that time, I just felt a little bit shaky about it, was we really didn't we didn't change anything, really. The mission of the island, or the vision for the island and everything else, that stayed the same.
Yeah.
And now we're facing rising tides and all this kind of stuff, and I think we're facing a different world than we were conceptually than we were then.
I
think then we were like Pollyanna.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. I mean, it was, again, it was very high level, and it was very...
it's like Chamber of Commerce kind of thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. It did not... There was not a lot of controversial.
No issues.
You know, it just kind of said, maintain the balance, work to maintain balance. You know, it was not really a document of really specific recommendations to address. Some comprehensive plans are that way. I mean, if you wanted to really drill down on an issue, the comprehensive plan might include very detailed strategy to getting, you know, to addressing that issue. That might be the place where it happens. This plan is not that way. You know, it talks about work to maintain balance, and that's kind of the overriding principle of the thing, as opposed to, you know, nuts and bolts of this is how you need to address that issue.
Are you suggesting that we should have nuts and bolts in there? It sounds like you want more teeth on this document, or suggesting that there might be more teeth.
I think it's a good, yeah, I think that's a, and we'll, I mean, I think that those would be good discussions to have through the process.
Right.
And I think that's good for you all to, there's, you know, you run the risk of putting forth a document that the community can't kind of rally behind, or, you know, it's contentious, or which has never been, you don't want the document to be a divisive thing.
Right.
You know, you don't want it to be, so
but
I think
it is supposed to be the vision statement for the island for the next 10 years.
Well, so that's the reason why things would be in there, like
right.
improve drainage as, you know, as possible, as resources, you know, that type of versus
mm-hmm. Does the document have any authority? I mean,
It comes into play when a city starts doing things that are at odds with the document. So if a city is approving things and the community doesn't like it and lawsuits start to ensue, they would say, look, you know, this new council is now doing things that the comprehensive plan has said, and it's a long-range plan,
well,
says that they should be.
Let's say we put in the document that one of our goals would be to expand the sewer to all residences on the island. And the sewer commission comes to council with a bonding requirement, and council turns it down. Is that going to be contrary to that comprehensive plan, so that would put them in a pickle?
Yeah, it's always guidance. So I don't think that it would put them in a legal bind, but certainly that, you know, if there was somebody was making a case against the city, and you know, every lawyer wants to argue a decision was arbitrary and capricious, they would certainly throw that in. Look, this council is doing this. Their long-range guiding principles would be that they wouldn't do this or would be at odds with this. So it would. I think it would kind of enter into the arguments of the other side, which is, in my mind, why it has been kind of so high level and just.
But I think it's like, if any of y'all ever sat on a board, it's very similar to the guiding document that any board would use.
Yeah.
And it really, I feel like the violations come, if there were any violations, it's because it's so contrary to what the document would say.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, every board has a mission statement and has their guidelines that this is what, you know, this is our agenda, this is what we're here for. I think this document is very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this is why our city government exists, and this is what our city government should be working on, sort of.
And it has a section of strategies,
mm-hmm.
and then it has a section of, you know, specific recommendations to meet those strategies. And the things that would get challenged would be, you know, you would enact an ordinance that would be recommended in the comprehensive plan. That ordinance would be the thing that would actually cause, you know, pushback or community, you know,
how often can you amend the comprehensive plan?
You can
only do it once every 10 years?
No, you can do it as frequently
as you
want. You're required to at least do it every 10 years. You review it every 5.
Have you ever looked at the comprehensive plan?
No, we did it 5 years ago.
That's right.
You were on.
Yeah.
Vince, I'm surprised. I feel like you were on.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe towards the end of it or
maybe
something.
Maybe you did.
Who other than us, though?
Oh, yes, it was.
Ron,
it was at the very...
You may
have.
I was thinking you were
up.
Part of it, but
yeah,
maybe.
It came at the very end.
I think
Ron
he might
has
have
done
helped
about,
approve it. Yeah.
Ron has done maybe 4 of them.
Well, you've done a few too.
Yeah.
You've been on this committee.
I've done
10
2,
years?
So no. Ron has probably done close more than 2.
Yeah, probably so.
And you've done 2, I think, haven't you? Just 1. Okay, so I must have, the first term, I must have done.
Yeah, you were here.
Wow, wasn't I lucky? But, I mean, it's a good thing for us as a commission to review anyway, because it does help us focus on.
Well, you know, it was funny. We submitted it to council, and they approved it, and there was document this thick, and it was
no pushback.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
No pushback.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's my question, whether anybody pays any attention to it.
Well, I think it's a document that would have to be addressed. In other words, like, let's say the council wants to sell the marina. That's in contradiction to what's in the plan.
Right.
Something would have to be addressed. You couldn't just let it go. You know, the council would have to vote and say, we're going to have to amend the plan to fit the idea that we're selling the marina.
So wouldn't we want some input from council before we got too far down the road with the plan anyway? I mean, you don't want to present it to them and there be things in there that's contrary to what the majority of council.
I think there have been times.
You've got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, there have been times when there has been kind of consensus on the planning commission on an item, and I think this happened, and that idea gets kind of floated up in terms of, you know, give us feet. This is the direction we're going. Is that, do you share that vision before we, you know, work too hard on drafting? So if there was something in there that the Planning Commission was wanting to put in there that could be contentious, I think that would be the, you know, and we've done a lot of work on the sewer issue, and that seems to be a lightning rod for emotions, so that, you know, that's one that we want to talk long and hard about how do we want to put that into the plan? What level do we want to put that into the plan? Sea level rise, I mean, the city of Charleston has their own document entirely dealing with sea level rise, but that certainly is going to be, you know, our infrastructure section. There's an infrastructure section that's very quiet on it. And just the natural, there's the natural elements section that will talk about environmental issues that we're facing. So I think that those are kind of the big ones that'll be potentially added.
Should we vote on whether or not we want to address this? Because we have the option, right? We could say, we could recommend the council to skip a 5-year term.
Yes, so I would envision that you would at least as a group, you know, we would distribute the existing plan, we would review it, and then you would start out and say, okay, step one, do we want to just review this and pass it on and say we've reviewed it? And really there's no, you're not changing it, so you just kind of give notice that it's been reviewed. Or you decide to update it and you go from there. But I think you would make that decision at the very beginning of the process.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we do that?
Okay. Yeah, I think either way.
The other thing, when we did it last time, it was nice in a way. It didn't consume a meeting entirely. We
could still do one of the elements. Yes.
Right. We could still conduct other things we were doing.
Yeah, it was just an ongoing kind of work in progress for probably years.
But we can break it down into sections easily because it's broken down in sections. So, you know, you can say, the next meeting, for instance, we're going to review section A, B, and C, or whatever, you know, whatever you decide, and then that's where you stop, because it is a document that's this thick.
Allocate like an hour of meeting.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we should, because it's too much.
Because I got a sneaky feeling that we're going to get a lot of stuff in the next few months. I mean, there's a lot going on that's just bubbling now. It's just percolating.
I would agree.
It's just laughing.
Well, you get a little nervous when the agendas start getting kind of light. You know, when you see that there's not.
And you think, like, someone's going to add something to our agenda? Is that what you're saying?
It's just one of those things that.
I know.
It's always
going to hit a ball into our court. That's
it's always the kind of.
Well, we certainly have given them room. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, what does that sound like? Mm-hmm. The plan.
Yes.
We'll distribute
sounds
it,
good.
And I will, for those that aren't here now, just say the expectation is that you will have reviewed it and be ready to discuss whether or not we want to press forward just a review or an update.
Yep.
You're going to email the whole?
Yes.
Okay.
That works.
All right. I can do that.
Is that going to be a zip file? That's going to be a huge.
It's not. I've any graphics, yeah. It was, it had a bunch of graphics in it, and then it's now just, it's either text, I think it's just low resolution graphics, so it's.
I haven't looked, but isn't it on the website?
It is. I think that's the high. I think there's kind of a easily emailed version, and then there's a high.
If it's on there, can you just send us the link?
Yeah, we can open it from the link, though.
Yep.
Just as easy. I think we're all capable of that.
Yeah.
Other potential projects?
I don't know of any. And that's for you all to discuss. Like I said, I have a feeling stuff is gonna bubble up and present itself. And I don't, you know, we'll talk about drainage and these other issues.
Does the planning committee have any input responsibility for the marina? What's going on there? Or is that real properties?
I think it's real properties.
Real property.
If the city, one of the requirements of the planning commission, if the city is going to expend a lot of money on a new capital facility and it's contrary to the comprehensive plan, the planning commission is supposed to notify the council of that. So that's in there. So I don't expect that that's going to happen at the
they haven't made a decision on the property.
Yeah, we don't really know what they're talking about it, but as I understand it, it's somebody else. Kind of all the scenarios would be somebody else expending a lot of money on probably a repair or modification, not a new facility, but a new facility that is a large outlay of cash would require a recommendation or at least an acknowledgement that it's not contrary to the comprehensive plan. So other than that, there wouldn't be a legal obligation for the planning commission to.
None of the proposals that they got, though, were the city doing
No.
a large outlay of cash. They were all proposals that the tenant, prospective tenant, I should say, perhaps, was going to redevelop or modify
Right.
the building themselves.
Yep.
So it doesn't sound like that's going to be an issue. Now, it could change.
Not
I don't know if they.
With those proposals, but the city didn't have to accept any
that's
of those.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure that they have accepted any of them yet, but.
That's correct.
But if, well, I don't know. They sent out an RFP, correct?
Yep.
And they got three proposals.
Three responses.
Back. And the three responses were very different.
I think they've narrowed it, and I think that's official. They've narrowed it to talking to one of the respondents.
Yeah, they're in due diligence.
Yeah.
Due diligence.
Right.
Yeah.
That was what I understood too. So they've narrowed it down. They're in due diligence with one of the three prospective.
Hypothetically, they could wind up with an agreement.
They could, but I guess what I was trying to say, to answer Bill's question, is from what I understand, at least, and I certainly don't know at all, because we're not privy to all the information yet, but none of the proposals would have had a big capital outlay. They were all, again, tenant, or prospective
tenants.
But
the city doesn't have to accept any of them. So the city
right.
can do whatever they want to.
That's
yeah,
correct.
Sure.
Right.
If they don't get to some agreement, to
yeah,
you know,
correct.
They're negotiating.
Well, you've got to assume that one third of those proposals is defunct at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Probably two.
I would say two of them.
Yeah.
If they're defunct, if they're going to negotiate with one.
Lowe's has walked.
Oh, they have.
Yeah.
Who
I don't think that's going to disappoint anybody.
Lowe's.
Wild days.
Because we wouldn't, okay.
So there's only one viable candidate.
Right.
Mm.
Like you said, they can reject that candidate for no reason and go back and just
reissue
another
it.
RFP.
An yeah. RFP is not binding. It's just
no.
It's just a way to gather information. So, I mean, if they didn't get what they didn't get from the RFP what they asked for, really. So
yeah.
It's surprising that we didn't see a larger response to that.
Yeah, I think that was...
I don't know if
yeah.
it just wasn't out there enough, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of cash.
Yeah, I guess. But it's such a prime spot, great piece of
Yeah, you know,
estate.
I've talked to people since that didn't know about the RFP and wished they had known.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two people approached me about it. I was like, I don't have anything to do with it. You can talk to somebody else.
That are capable of doing that?
Yep.
Or are they just people that are.
Really?
Yep.
Because, you know, they hired a consultant to shop it.
It was John Tuffy at Avion and Young, wherever he is now.
I don't know what his firm is called.
Was their consultant. And I'm not saying anything against him. I didn't mean it that way. That's how it, what it came across. But they did hire a real estate agent as a consultant. And, I mean, I wasn't involved in the process. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get a copy of the RFP, so I don't know. But I don't think it. They certainly do have the opportunity to send out an additional RFP or to ask for additional. If they chose to do that, if they can't get anywhere with the one respondent
right.
that they're talking to,
they can put it back out again.
They can certainly put it back out. It doesn't have to be through an RFP. It's just that's a good way to do it because it's fair.
It levels the playing.
Right. It's fair.
And I think the one that's more interesting is what's going being thought of over here.
At the post office site?
Yeah.
The hotel?
Yeah.
The boutique hotel. But
I thought that was a dead issue.
That's a dead deal, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Real Properties turned it down.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But you have a new Real Property group.
This is true.
Do you think they're going to rejuvenate it?
He bought the property. I mean, he's in.
He's got to do something with it, right?
Right, yeah.
Now that we would have to get involved in because that requires
rezoning.
You think the prospective buyer bought it?
Well, there was additional property that was attached to that that's been bought, the blue house.
Yeah, that's been bought?
Yeah.
Have they actually closed on it or is it just under contract?
They closed on it.
Wow.
All right, we're going far afield from the agenda,
I know,
but
really
that is news to me.
So we were talking about discussing potential next projects, yeah.
The only other thing I would add is we typically in the beginning of the year will have the city attorney come in and do a annual legal briefing, so we'll schedule that usually in February or March, so we'll do that.
Good.
Other than that, I don't know of anything.
I was going to mention, and I don't know if this is even a project that would be in our purview, but with all of the changes that we've had to what's going on with the beach, you know, with no smoking, no cigarette butts, no plastic, no. Is there something that we should be looking at as a planning commission, like a beach management project that kind of talks about how do you handle all of this kind of stuff?
Well, that would
how
be
you
part of the comprehensive plan.
That was part of
it.
It
could be.
And we have a comprehensive beach management plan.
We do, okay.
We have that plan, but...
Hi, Ronnie.
Sorry.
Hey, Ronnie.
We have that plan, and it was done primarily to satisfy OCRM.
Right.
When it came to making judgments about what is an open and an accessible beach, what's a public beach, when it came to funding decisions.
Right.
You know, they shouldn't spend public money on private beaches, so that document really acts as the kind of proof of what is officially public.
Public beach,
so we do have that plan. It has not historically been something that the Planning Commission has worked on. It is one that a consultant prepared, council approved it. And it also has periodic update triggers, like we were talking about with our comprehensive plan. The beach management plan has to be periodically updated, and it goes through an approval process at OCRM.
But we don't have to do it.
The Planning Commission has historically not done it.
Not done it, okay.
And, you know, it might be, like I said, historically, and I don't know what committee of council worked on it, but if the next time that gets updated, the Planning Commission wanted to, you know, request that they be part of that process, I'm sure whatever committee it was would be agreeable to that. So maybe that's
something that we would
think about.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of activity, you know, towards what's going on with the beach. So
Yeah, the beach management plan really, it really delves deep into what's public,
right.
And it delves into, you know, what historically has happened with, like, the shape of the beach, that type of...
Right.
As opposed to, I think what you're talking about is...
Use
of the beach.
The rules
and
the regulations,
yeah, the rules
staying out of the dunes, and I mean, just
yeah.
all of that stuff, you know, that...
And that is in the beach plan, but it's not
yeah.
kind of the meat and bones of it.
Right.
I mean, it could be a section of our comprehensive plan, perhaps, of to just to update as far as any new ordinances that have dealt with the beach, no?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is a section. There is a kind
mm-hmm.
of a beach section of
right.
the comprehensive plan.
So that may
so
be.
Maybe
so
that
we could update
to
that,
some of that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
to deal with some of the rules and things, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, we have an abandoned
yeah.
sailboat that's
yeah.
down the end of our street. It's been there for over a year now. And
it's disappeared.
Yeah, it's kind of grown over, but there's right. a lot of different things that, you know, maybe we need to update some of the rules and regulations.
We used to allow boats on the beach. I can remember when I was a teenager.
We do.
Yeah.
Still
do. We
it
still do.
It specifically is carved out as an allowable
yeah,
thing
you can
on
do
the
that.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, we used to... We're not going to talk about what we used to do on those boats,
yeah,
but but yes,
the days of the Hokie Cats.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's the 80s.
Exactly,
yeah.
it. Back in the '80s. So if you got something
over
the
16 or an 18
tie-dye
shirts and wear the
tie-dye
well.
Shirts. That's right.
So we still do a lot of that. I mean, they just sat there. You never knew who they belonged to. They
so you don't have any suggestions for what the planning committee should be addressing over the next year?
No, that's why you all get paid
the high bucks.
The high bucks.
I had one other idea that may be a suggestion. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about a bike path. Is that something that would come into the Planning Commission's purview? I mean, it's been discussed, it's been talked about. I don't think it's moved much further out of City Council than...
Well, they request, so City, and I think it's Public Safety, has an annual recurring request for funding. You know, there are several groups out there that fund transportation type projects,
right.
and the city submits a list of their priorities. That's typically been done by
mm-hmm.
of what they would like to see. There were a number of times that it was put that they wanted bike paths on Palm Boulevard.
Right.
Never got funded. There are a couple of lists that the city has that bounce around for
okay.
funding requests. And as I said, that's typically been something that the council has worked on.
Okay.
I don't know if we wanted to request that the Planning Commission work on that as well. Could.
You know, one of the things we may want to do is put a bug in the mayor's ear. About us, just remind him again about us.
Well, okay.
You think he's forgotten about us?
Yeah, because well, he got the two things from us that he needed.
Right.
So he put it in his pocket and he went home.
And he's got his stuff. But yeah, there's a bunch of
well,
things
then we should extend
over the fence to let us work on.
Well,
we
exactly,
should extend an offer to help him on his whatever
well,
it is.
You have project. New committees now. You have
right.
The committees, and that's where the work is going to come out of the committees.
Right.
Sure.
Right. It's either going to be a top-down or bottom-up, but it's eventually when it gets to the committee, it's going to be tossed to us, if anybody. So I think if we talk to the mayor and jiggle him a little bit, and then he can start working with his new committees to get that, to get stuff out of there, I don't know.
Well, do you think we're done with drainage and sewer? I mean, they're the two biggest things, issues for this island.
Yeah.
I suspect it would be difficult to get more money for drainage or sewer right now.
Yeah. We probably have gone as far as we can with them. I mean, as a planning commission.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we could
we haven't gone
out.
Anywhere at all on sewer.
No. You know,
we just worked on it for 2 years.
Yeah, we
made
did our
recommendations,
part, but.
Yeah. But.
But even if you could, you don't want to get too far in advance. You're just
right.
Yeah.
So,
funding.
So you know, just to kind of bat around the idea of sewer. It took an awful long time, but council did ultimately enact the recommendations of the Planning Commission to, and one of the things in there is you have to extend sewer if you develop within 100 or 150 feet of a sewer line. You also have to tie into sewer if it runs past your house and you're not tied in, you sell the property. And you have to extend sewer lines. You have to tie into sewer to increase your floor to area ratio. I think in my just kind of day-to-day activity, and I'll be honest, we kind of talked about that there was not a lot of opportunity for, that we thought that it would be slow for things to extend, but there's not a week goes by that somebody isn't calling about, hey, those ordinances are triggering me to need to extend the sewer.
Really?
Good.
So I think that that's going to, we'll see. I mean, we're, and
it may. They're complaining about it, or they're saying?
They're in the planning processes of, hey, what you've done is, it's now triggering the need for me to extend the sewer line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through the hurdles of getting that.
And they're accomplishing it.
Well.
Or they're just whining about it.
They're working to get it. I don't know of any physical extensions that have taken place, but it takes time to get them approved. They have to be engineered. They have to go through.
Was a lady on 28th Street that just tied in. She's on the rec side.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know, about three doors down from Waterway.
Okay.
She tied in a week.
Well,
that's
she, they did the work in a week. They didn't get the approvals in a week. It's a long process.
It only takes a day to write a check.
An
hour, yeah.
Did have just yesterday somebody come in, and they are on the corner of 45th and Palm.
Okay.
On the non-ocean side, just bought the house. He's across 45th from the Greenway,
right.
The green area from Wild Dunes Gate.
Yeah.
And he was working to tie his sewer, wanted to tie in a sewer, he's on septic. And he was not being forced to do so, but he was within 200 feet of the sewer line. He was trying to run a grinder pump. He was advised, and I haven't gotten the details, but he couldn't do that. So he had the engineers design a gravity extension, and the estimate went to $200,000. So he is now kind of, he unfortunately for this project doesn't have neighbors across the street, but he's got two that it would be going by that would potentially
chip in.
You know, that would benefit from that sewer line being, but he believes that it would then have the ability to extend across Palm Boulevard and down 45th. So there, it's an interesting kind of study on the cost per unit and what happens as you extend it out and tie more people into it. It obviously becomes more affordable, but
is that line, is it his discretion what size line he puts in, or does he have to put a line in that the neighbors could tie into?
He's putting in a line that the neighbors could tie into.
By requirement, not by his own decision.
And there's no requirement for the neighbors to help pay for it.
Right.
So maybe we start a GoFundMe page for
it. Might, I was going to say, it might take more than an hour to write that check.
Yeah.
Well, that's, it would be a study of, okay, it's 200 to do here. Is it, do you then go across the street? What's that?
Why is it 200?
It's just the sewer line is in the road, so he actually has to mill and repave the road.
Okay.
But it's, it's a very large pipe and it's very, very deep. We have sandy soil, so the trench is, so it's a massive trench.
Mm.
It's deep. It's just, it is Iowa. To me, all of it's just Iowa.
Is that an indication that maybe they're under budget in what they're proposing to sewer the whole island?
Well, that's kind of where, and I guess there, and also the idea that, you know, because we have it that if the sewer, if gravity is within 100 feet or 150 feet, they have to do it to build a new house. If you just do the cost per foot, $1,000 a foot, you know, we potentially have tacked on a requirement that would cost somebody 100 to 150,000 to provide sewer to the new house. So that's, we'll see where that comes out.
Super high.
That seems really high.
Yeah, way high.
That's higher than all plus.
Well, it's construction. It's not it's not tap fee. It's not the, it's just the cost of construction.
Those pipes are down deep.
But it makes it very difficult to do the plan that we were hoping for.
Yeah.
Because people are going to say no.
Yes.
I mean, if they have to spend an additional $200,000 and they can get a septic system, even if it is a grinder pump system or something, the cost is significantly higher. So it makes it very difficult.
Yeah. If in that situation, that owner is going to go away, and he's not going to do that. And he's looking at a grinder pump to maybe satisfy us. I do fear that if it was our requirement that was forcing him to have to do that, I think that's going to come back around.
That will come
which is why we intentionally set it as at a short distance as kind of the test balloon. So we may, that could very well come back to us.
So if he does the grinder pump, he's going to have to cut the road anyway.
I don't think so. I think he will.
Yes,
snakes will probably bore under the road with a grinder pump.
He might have a little lateral, you know, cut.
You're not talking about as big of a...
But he's shallow. He's not, you know, 12 feet deep with a huge...
Right. I don't think it'd be near... I mean, I don't know, but I wouldn't think it'd be nearly that cost.
He was counting on 30,000. In his mind, he was counting on 30.
Why did he decide not to do a septic?
He just doesn't want, you know, concern
some
over.
Some people just don't like him.
He did want more space for pool and.
But it would have been approved. DHEC would have approved it.
A septic?
Yes. I mean,
he has a septic. This is an existing house too. He's going to modify it. He's going to work on it. But
you can almost always get approval from. Do you have to get some sort of septic?
It might be a two-bedroom house.
But it might be a smaller house. It might be a modified system, an engineered system that would be expensive. But you can almost always get approval for some sort of septic system. I mean, there are lots that don't.
You have no input into that. DHEC makes the decision.
Yes.
Yeah, DHEC does
it. Yeah, they are. The state puts them in charge of that.
It's all about soil.
I mean, I have input. We have various things that are triggered when you're on a septic or when you're not, as we've talked about. With, you know, you're limited in how big the house can be by our floor to area ratio. There, you can't substantially improve it without bringing it up to minimum codes. So I do have triggers in there, but when it comes to authorizing a system or not, that's completely with DHEC.
It's only a $45 permit fee.
And a couple days.
Well, at least.
No. It is not a couple of days. It is months.
You
got to
put
months.
Your little placard out. And
it is
everything's
months.
Everything's a month.
Yeah.
Each step is a month.
And they got to sit on
it. It is not an easy process per se, but.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, in this discussion, I would say that I don't have really anything other than what we talked about on the update on the MOU and the Water and Sewer Commission.
Mm-hmm.
They requested the council signing off on a bond, and the city has not done that. So we're kind of at a stalemate on that issue. And I think that's going to be kind of used as leverage to be in a more cooperative spirit. But they all kind of went and regrouped and going to have to reconvene at a later date to discuss that.
What was the bond for? What were they going to use the money for?
For building a new sewer system, a new sewer treatment facility at the Forest Trails plant that would allow them to take away the current plant that's in the Wild Dunes Golf Course.
I thought that was already, they had already decided to do that and never got into that.
Well,
they were gonna do it if they got the money.
They have, but they haven't funded it yet.
It's in there, it was very much in their plans, but that's really what the money was for, is to do that. And so they haven't. And I think that we've talked about the fact that the city, you know, asked that they consider disbanding themselves and coming under the umbrella of the city.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
But that was a popular idea.
So it didn't go well. So they're gonna reconvene and talk about that at a future point. I do think that it's more clear over there that there needs to be a cooperative spirit.
Full the commissioners all been appointed?
Yeah.
I think they are, yeah.
They're meeting next week. They'll swear in the one that was elected, and then the other two vacancies were filled by city council.
So there's a lot of turnover, obviously. Yeah. I mean, so they're get back up to speed.
Why? Do they meet on a regular basis?
They do.
They do?
They do?
Every month.
But they don't.
But they've had
what do they
three,
mean about?
They've had three go off, and it's technical, you know, it's,
yeah.
We've extended this water line,
it's kind
of a technical review, and they've done a lot of changes with billing, and they're busy over there. They do a lot with.
It's an 8 o'clock meeting, so it takes a little longer to get through. 8 o'clock in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quick, it's actually a very quick meeting.
Mm-hmm. No one's awake, or they're just.
Never more than about 15 of those. I do.
You still attend?
I don't go to everyone, but I go to almost everyone. It's first thing in the morning, and it's 15 minutes.
I assume the appointments were
15
people
minutes?
That are loyal to the city.
Wow.
Loyal? I don't know. They're both very knowledgeable, though.
Yeah, one is an old planning commissioner, Bob Hooper. I don't know the other.
She's an engineer.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's a good spot for her.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I would guess if she's a
was that the
civil
lady
engineer.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
great.
She's really top dollar. Really
good.
Really sharp.
Good.
Yeah, they
good,
seem to
good.
Ask a lot of really good questions. I mean, I don't understand all of it anyway, but they do seem to ask a lot of really good questions and have, you know, input.
Did their manager return?
No. The Kristen?
Yeah.
No. Did you say return or retire?
Return.
No.
She's not coming back, is she?
Did you hear that she might return?
That's what I heard. From a very unreliable source.
I haven't heard that.
To triangulate that, I've heard that same.
Have you really?
Maybe.
But, you know, that could be
just on social media or
no,
some
I,
other
I don't,
source?
I don't do that, you know, so they're just,
that's interesting.
You know, water cooler talk or something along those lines.
Oh, that's much more reliable than social media.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I've thought about, and I've brought it up many, many years ago, it deals with the waterway side of the island and regulations, the fear. Of course, Folly Beach has had their little floating island, or is it a boat? And my concern years ago were houseboats.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have a painter who I think lives on his houseboat on Goat Island. If there's anything that we could do as a committee of municipality to enforce any kind of rules against that. I think your comment many moons ago was that it's often regulated certainly by the federal government.
I was going to say, is that within our purview too?
Well, certainly the intercoastal has got to be federal.
Can't be us.
But, and I'm not really worried about a floating island in the middle of the intercoastal, but we do have Morgan Creek and we, you know, a little spit on the other end and it's buttoning up or preventing. You know, I don't understand really how marinas work and why somebody, you know, we have a marina in Morgan Creek and who really has jurisdiction over what gets built there? What's to prevent somebody from, you know, doing this obscure three-story barge or something along those lines. And I'm just curious.
That's a good point. We have always, and it should probably be revisited, but it has been impressed upon us that that is outside of the purview of the city. And that it is, I mean, there are a lot of planning. I mean, there are a lot of permitting hoops and regulations that rest with the state and OCRM, mm-hmm. you know, to and DNR as well. But and that authority is given directly to them, and because of that, we basically yeah. can't kind of trump or take away their authority. Kind of same question with septic systems.
Right.
I've been told we couldn't get into really permitting septic systems because the state already covers it and delegates it to a certain entity, so it wouldn't be proper for us to regulate them. But it does, you know, that we get questions about short-term rentals mm-hmm. on boats out at marinas mm-hmm. and, you know, what I would consider zoning questions on the water side. And it's murky at best, yeah. so a bad idea to... Yeah.
We don't have control over sewer, but we do have a position on that.
Right.
Maybe we just need to define a position on, you know, not that we have any legal stand, but this is what we feel about you doing that. So, and if DNR, whomever, is out to... they're the ones out more than anybody to enforce something, and they knew that we were...
Yeah,
concerned or had concerns about this kind of activity, maybe they could,
Well, like there are mooring sites, or places. We don't have any legal mooring sites that I'm aware of.
Oh, we don't.
But I mean, City of Charleston has them. Down McCallville has them. Yeah. You know, in between here and there, there are legal mooring sites that people rent. I mean, other states, lot of other states have them, especially. Up north, but I'm not aware that we even have any around here that would be regulated by DNR or anybody.
You have no still water. The water at the currents around here is too much for a mooring site.
Is that why we don't have them?
Yeah. I lived on a boat for 3 years, mm-hmm. and the trick is to get federally registered. You can register your boat with the federal government or with the state or city. You're registered with the federal government, then the state can't touch you. Mm-hmm. They can't tax you. They can't do anything.
And you can moor anywhere?
Just about.
As long as it's the conditions.
Yeah, as long as it's legal. I mean.
I know people have like their pilings, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the. You know, and it's a mooring. I mean, it's something they rent or. Well, I don't know who they rent it from, but.
The moment you tie up to a dock. Now you got a problem because the owner of the property has the rights.
Yeah, you can't tie it to somebody's dock.
Right.
But I think of a mooring, when I grew up, a mooring was a chunk of concrete at the bottom of the lake with a chain and a ball that floated, mm-hmm. and you attach your boat to that.
Mooring ball.
An engine block.
Yeah.
Out of the bottom.
Whatever you can
find.
Well,
they have those too, but no, I've seen
an old tractor
poles too, yeah. like it's like a pilot.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, where it sticks up a little higher and
but,
they have.
But what about just throwing out a couple of lines and anchoring out. I mean.
Well, I think that's legal. That's the point I was trying to make. I think you can legally, and I don't think that's up to us. I think that's up to somebody else.
If we decided, if we wanted to go there and decided that we wanted to take a position that we would discourage that kind of activity, you know, it would be no different than us taking a position. We'd really rather have this whole island on septic tanks or on sewers and septic tanks.
Well, what's your painter going to do?
He's not my painter anymore.
So we do have...
Because he lives on a boat now.
We do have...
My tile guy lived in a boat, too.
A ring around the island, and it was done after the house was built at 7th Avenue out in the marsh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it is the CO District Conservation Overlay mm-hmm. District, and it includes all the marshes, all of the... Any island out there less than mm-hmm. 2 acres. And it is in the conservation district language of the zoning code that you can't develop, it is intended for open recreation space, you know, or maritime uses approved by OCRM. Mm-hmm. It is already in that language that you couldn't, you know, live aboard. You couldn't be, unless you were authorized by OCRM or DHEC or DNR or somebody to do it, the language in the conservation district would state that you couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. The question is, so that I think that's kind of already in there. The question would be, And we have actually, we had a houseboat out here that we,
right.
that we did. Mm-hmm. We went and had them move, and I think that's
in there.
That's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, we have kind of held the position that you can't do that.
Well, it might be worth looking up the language, like Ron said.
Worth getting a clear reading on it.
Okay.
I think bike paths. I think we should help with the bike paths. They've been struggling with it for a long time and not gotten any.
Get it done.
So drainage planning, update on that. So we got very good news from OCRM, and the question there was they are going to install these flapper gates. They're gonna dig up an area that's the size of, I don't know, three of these tables. And it was always understood that we would need to get permits to dig that up,
right,
and to do that work. And that there could be some mitigation that would be required for that amount of area, whatever that square footage is. The question came up in the early discussions with OCRM about the impacted areas. In other words, you've now installed this flapper valve. It is having an impact not only on the area of the tables that you're covering, but all of the ditches that lead up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that calculation of the area of those ditches, you know, it's hundreds of acres.
Yes, it's a lot.
And so we got an early indication that the mitigation and the permitting would be looking at hundreds of acres of mediation or mitigation instead of the area just of the disturbance. They have clarified for us that it is just going to be what we had originally planned, which was just the area that we physically are digging in. And
so the survey I saw, like, I went and looked at the one, it's around 30th somewhere, the one that where the bridge goes over the golf course.
Yep.
I'm not exactly sure what address that is. But I did notice that they brought the critical line all the way back to that bridge almost.
Well, the critical line is going right to Hartnett Boulevard, I mean, right where the pipe comes out.
Oh, all the way to Hartnett.
I'm sorry.
All the way to Waterway.
All the way to Waterway where the pipe, the fear was.
They're going to include all
that. It, when it crosses under Waterway and you have aquatic vegetation and the ditches going all the way back into the neighborhoods, that it was going to be all of those areas too. There has also been an indication that our permit request will be looked on more favorably if some amount of water is allowed to get through these gates. In other words, you don't have a bone dry ditch.
Okay.
That some salt water gets in there, you know, that there are currently fiddler crabs and,
right.
and
right.
seagrasses in the bottom of that ditch. Sounds like it will be, I think we will be encouraged to leave some amount to be able to continue to come in so the fiddler crabs would still be.
And mosquitoes.
And hopefully it will.
Fiddler crabs will live in fresh water.
So that'll, our engineers felt like it was good news, and they've had productive meetings with OCRM and the Corps of Engineers. So they are pushing forward with, they've had those wetland delineations, those flags done. They've had the surveying work done. They are preparing the documentation to submit for the permits on those jobs. So those are pressing forward.
Encouraging.
The big hurdle on the horizon is the funding of those projects. And that will be, you know, that will be included in this upcoming budget, the construction of those improvements. It's not, you know, the money is not currently there.
Right.
And I don't, you know, when it comes to, you kind of hear the writing on the wall that it's going to necessitate an increase in taxes to get that work done as well as other work. So I know it's going to be contentious.
Will they have
the funding.
To agree on where the funding is coming from before they put it out for bid or not?
They wouldn't have to, but I think they should.
They would plan to.
I would, yeah, should be planned for. They don't have to. They can, you know, sometimes they'll just get bids to know what the pricing is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people shop pricing. But certainly to execute the contract, they'll have to know where the money's coming from. So that's really going to be, like I said, that to me is the big hurdle, is how does it get paid for? There is money in this year's budget, and the work is pushing forward to do the smaller projects leading up to those outfalls, and the funding is identified, and that should get done.
Was that about $2 million for the outfall?
I think it's right at about $2 million.
And they don't have any of that budget available to be budgeted.
Correct.
All this current budget is the low-hanging fruit.
It's early. It's early yet. That's
small.
Why.
Yeah. You know, the last budgeting cycle, there were discussions about borrowing that money and how to pay off the debt from borrowing it, which is, I assume, the same conversation that they'll have this go around. But I think they're anticipating borrowing it and paying
it. The marina gets paid off, right?
That's next year, right? That's still.
But it dovetails, I think, just as the marina gets paid off.
Yeah, there is a funding scenario that would kind of have the two coincide, with one gets paid off and basically those same payments then start paying for
right.
these drainage improvements.
What about the little projects? How are they doing?
They're going well. I mean, they're in the design work. I mean, they are budgeted. The money's in the budget for those to get done.
Great.
As far as I know, they're on schedule to get done in this budget year.
Anything new on Forest Trail Lane? Forest Trail Court.
Forest Trail Court.
Oh, that, yes, that, so that, if you remember the subdivision, Forest Trail, the guy was very reluctant to doing a drainage plan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he continued that hesitation throughout, and, I mean, we went around and around. And
but he has to do it for the county anyway.
And he has to do it. And eventually, he was convinced that you're not going anywhere beyond where you are today without it. So he has developed that plan, and it's with the county, and they're reviewing it. So it's being done.
Good. That's good.
took a lot to get it done.
Well, you got an email like last month even, where he was...
Well, he just started it not too long ago. So update on short-term rentals?
Yeah.
That is, that will be starting its process with City Council this month. So we'll see, I think. And Desiree and I spoke about it briefly this morning, that it would go through real property as the committee. And then go on through the, then go to full council for first reading and ultimately a public hearing and second reading.
Do we need to update it for Ron's mooring boats out there so we can have a short-term rental on a sailboat in the harbor or in the waterway?
As far as I know, it's already
taken care of.
It's already prohibited.
I didn't even contemplate that until you said it. I was like, well, I guess somebody could do that, right?
Yes. Yeah, you saw the actual
That's right.
Ordinance text.
Hmm.
And I think so we'll see. I mean, that could go, like you say, there's a lot of work there. There was a lot of stuff considered. And it could very well be accepted at face value and implemented, or it could create a stir and come boomeranging right back to you. I don't. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll know shortly how that's going to go.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good work, though.